It is now six, a little after 6:10, so I'm going to do my best to cover some time. But I guarantee you we're getting out a little early tonight, which is fine, because let's face it, we had our pitch-in dinner today, and that's always an opportunity of sharing. And it's, you know, being here later than usual is often kind of a chore, you know, in some regards, not really, but it's kind of a situation where you got to slip your nap in somewhere, you got to do all these other things. But we'll do our best to cover the time that we have left. If you have your Bibles, turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. And this is a passage of Scripture that I think when you talk about where Christ is in the whole conversation, this passage gives us a definitive answer to one question, and that is, Christ is all. That is the answer. There's no other answer. Christ is the answer. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." So John writes this letter to starts off his gospel with this answer to any questions. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we have to break this down. First of all, what is he talking about? Well, the word that's here used in this whole conversation, the beginning, is a word that means origin. It literally is defined as the beginning of all things. So when John says, "In the beginning was the Word," he is saying that Jesus, or the Word, let me take a step back here, the Word, Logos, it was with God from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and everything is created in Him. So we see all this, and we kind of have to take a moment to analyze certain parts of this passage. First part we have to take the time to analyze is the words beginning and Word. What are they? What do they mean? Well, talked about the beginning being the origins, and meaning the beginning of time, beginning of all things. Not just some things, all things. So Christ was in the beginning with God in all things. And then the word Word, Logos, is the Greek word there. And that word is translated Word. And what is he referring to? Well, most of your Bibles have, I believe all the Bibles have that word capitalized, if not capitalized all the way through in some Bibles. The idea there is it is a noun defining a person. It's a name. It is a title. Well, whose title is it? Well, Christ's title. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was what God made all of creation when He spoke all things into existence. So understanding this is imperative to our faith. We have to believe. We have to have a solid belief that Jesus was with God in the beginning. There's no other way to believe. Not only do we have to believe that Jesus was with God from the beginning, we also have to believe that all things were made through Him. Why? Because that's the answer. And you can't doubt it. You can't be ashamed of it. You can't hide it. And you can't hide from it. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You see, when you look at Christ, and you truly analyze who Christ is the perfect Son of God, without blemish. without any sin, with no shame. He was Adam before the fall. Why is that important? Because he is who we're meant to be. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created all things good, even mankind. We were created perfect. He formed us out of the dust of the earth. He shaped us. He breathed in us the breath of life. He gave his own breath to us. You know, I sometimes kind of get a thought with that. When someone talks about the breath of life, I can kind of picture God giving us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and breathing in into Adam's lung the breath of life. And when I think about that, I always kind of chuckle in my mind, because I always think about the ones who are about to give mouth-to-mouth, and a person wakes up right when they're about to clamp down on their, And, you know, the different movie scenes that I've seen with that regard. But when I see that, I see God committing to us his breath of life. So all that to say, we were made, we were formed by God's hands, breathed by God's own mouth. Life breathed into our lungs by God's own mouth. His breath came into our lungs to give us life. And we were meant to be better than what we are. And that's why Christ has come. Christ has come to make us complete, make us new, make us a new creation. Because the old has been filled with sin and decay. But the problem is, we've got to commit to a new way of thinking. Instead of being committed to the old way of thinking of how bad we were, how bad we are, we need to commit to a new way of thinking. And the new way of thinking is how good God is because of what he's done in our life. Because of what he's done, because of his love for us, because of his commitment to us. Because when you really think about it, did he breathe life into us once? No. He has actually brought life to us many times over again. And ultimately, to this day, when we have new life in his spirit that is in us. So he has given us life over and over again. And we need to commit ourselves to that spirit that he has given us. And that spirit will drag us into a new way of thinking. And yes, we will fight and resist, but that's why we need to learn to submit. That's a big word that I don't think we give enough understanding to. Because when you think about what we're supposed to do, when we are submitting to God's leadership in our life, we're saying, out with the old and in with the new. There should be a new regime change in our hearts and our minds. And Jesus clarified that in his examples. You take an old wineskin and put a new wine in it, it ruins the flavor. Why? Because the flavor that is already absorbed into the wineskin comes into the new wine, and it ruins it. And he gives another example when he talks about the patch. You sew a patch. What do you have to do in order to patch a garment? You have to oversize the patch, don't you? Because what happens? If you don't make the patch bigger, it shrinks over time, right? Seamstress, Pat, you're probably the best example or best person to answer that. But over time, it shrinks and it pulls away from the stitch. And so when Jesus is telling us, what he is telling us, we have to submit to him in a new way. Fully committed to his way. Not our way, but his way fully. Truly committed to following his lead. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Take a moment to read that passage and think about it. We have life because of what Christ has done. But that last little part that John writes there is interesting to me. That life was the light of men. We were created to be light in this world. We were created to shine bright in this world. We were created to be good. We were created to be perfect. But we have taken our way off course, haven't we? Does it break your heart when you look at the condition of mankind today? How far have we fallen? How far can we fall? So often I hear the phrase, the people say, how much is the Lord going to put up with before he takes us out? We learn from Scripture that he is patiently waiting for us. He's patiently waiting for all people to come to know him. He's patiently enduring the hardship of watching us kill each other over our ideas, over our hatred, over our bigotry, whatever you want to call it. He's watching us and he's enduring that hardship. You know, in the book of Genesis, there's another time when he is enduring that hardship. And he says that my spirit will not contend with man much any longer. For everything of a man's heart is filled with evil from their very birth. That's a hard phrase. That's a hard passage to read sometimes, because we learn all these parenting things and you hear all these parenting ideas. And the one thing that I always scratch my head with as a parent of two little girls, and one's a few months only 14 months old, and the other one's 4 years old, is when someone tries to tell me that children are innocent. Yes, they're innocent in the sense that they don't know better, but it seems like they gravitate to everything that's bad. They know the bad to do, and they fall right into line with doing the bad stuff. You have to teach them. You have to equip them to understand the good things and doing good. I don't know if you had angels when your kids were born, but I know from my experience with children, not just my own children, but other children as well, you have to teach them well. And that's why the Bible is very clear to train up a child. Or the passage of Scripture that gets ridiculed quite a bit is spare the rod, spoil the child. And that is true. But yet in our culture today, we want to put spankings as corporal punishment that is archaic and out of date and abusive. I got plenty of spankings when I was a kid. I don't remember them all, but I know I got spankings. It didn't cause me to want to kill anybody. It didn't cause me to have any kind of syndromes or be negative towards myself. Why? Because God knows better. And see, if God knows how to raise up kids and children and prepare us, he knows how we should be living our lives too. Jesus was and always will be. And he will always be the example that we are to follow. He makes our life complete if we truly trust in what he is doing. And he is God. And nothing was made without him. And we can put our hope in what he's doing in our life. We can truly trust in what God can do in our lives if we learn only one thing. And that is, learn to submit to His way. Not our way, but His way. In order to do that, we need to be consumers of His Word and listeners to His Spirit, who is leading us to all things and all understanding if we learn to trust in what He's doing in our life. Well, I did what I could. I'm not going to try to linger any longer. So I'm going to go ahead and go to a word of prayer, because I've actually already done my wrap-up everything. So I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then invite the musician, or invite Linda back up here to lead us in our closing song, or our invitation song. If you're